And welcome back to another episode of our weekly podcast.
Hello, Shane.
How are you?
I'm good.
You very well?
Yeah, one thing I want to point out now before we start is that this podcast was supposed to be recorded last night.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay, so what happened was I was in Manchester on Tuesday night for a very, very good match.
Oh, jeez.
Glory Man United. Supposed to fly back Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. Got a text just before the game from Aer Lingus saying that the flight was cancelled in the morning time. So, slightly panicked before the game. Not really. What happened was, rang Aer Lingus then, because they said to give him a ring. No answer, I was on hold for about 90 minutes in total.
So that was perfect, because the game was 90 minutes and the game was utter shit anyway, so you didn't...
Well, they scored in the extra time, so I just got the goal.
Perfect.
So woke up then about 6 o'clock in the morning, tried ringing him again. No answer. Rang a few different numbers, checked the website and everything. Website was saying that the flight was on time, that it wasn't cancelled.
Okay.
So we're kind of in no man's land, so we said we better go to the airport. So we went to the airport and we had to get a later flight into Dublin.
Okay.
It's 2 o'clock. Yeah.
So, long story short, Shane went on a bit of a roundabout story there. He's apologising because this podcast is a day late.
One day. Well, we can... Do you know what happened? No, it's on you now, right?
Okay, pressure's on you. This will be interesting.
It is 4:10 in the afternoon.
Okay. If we get it up by tonight.
Sounds wrong, but yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, that's the challenge. So we're recording this on Thursday, the 29th of November. So it's going to go live.
It's either going to go live tonight or probably tomorrow.
Okay. No, I'll get up tonight.
Looky caddy.
Hello.
Okay.
Should we start now?
I think that'll probably be called cut out, will it?
No, I won't. That's perfect.
Okay. So last week's topic, we actually had Joe, our very own Joe, with us last week. And we had a very just... actually, it was a nice podcast talk about the Christmas ads, Black Friday sales, Cyber Monday.
Seasonal podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good though. It was good. And Joe brought his own kind of knowledge to the table. As we said last week, he kind of does his own podcast with Frankly Nuts. So that was good. today's topic.
Okay.
We're going to be talking all things startup.
This one interests me now because it gets real personal. And I think it's something that not a lot of people talk about. With startups, you know, I think everyone talks about the hustle and that thing that you have to work your balls off, which you do, but I think not a lot of people talk about...
It's down my notes now, so you're...
Hustle, really?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot... Am I taking some of your notes?
No, I think it's good, though. We've won the same page almost.
I just think it's going to be interesting to talk about, you know, what it is like as a startup and how difficult it can be and how amazing it can be, because I don't think people... talk openly about it.
No, yeah, it's true. Yeah, I think everyone wants to see the... It's almost like the Instagram page. Everyone wants to see the good highlights part.
Yeah,
but nobody actually ever talks about the, I suppose, the hard parts of being an entrepreneur and a business owner. Before we get stuck into that, though,
okay,
what's going on in your life? Is there anything you want to share with us?
I'm doing a half marathon next week.
Oh yes, yeah, you're some Joe. Yeah,
we ran our last long run. Was last week we ran 20 kilometres, just over 20 kilometres. So that's kind of the half marathon distance anyway. So now we're kind of at a stage of we just want the half marathon to come because we felt like we've ran it already.
That was the hardest part, yeah.
Yeah, so that's next, what is that? That's next Saturday, so Saturday week, which is the 8th of December, I think. So I'm looking forward to getting that done to set myself another goal for 2019.
Yeah.
And you? I might as well ask you now, seeing as you asked me.
No, just suppose Manchester was the...
Jeez. Amazing trip, yeah.
The Tuesday was fantastic.
I wouldn't watch them out in my back garden. They're that bad.
Yeah, it was poor. The match was poor. But the actual daytime...
The drink.
Activities.
Mean,
no, just the activities.
Okay, there's five. How many went? There was five lads.
No, four lads.
Four lads went to Manchester for one day.
One day, yeah.
And you're talking about activities. I think everybody knows what that is. You better be honest here now and say that it was drink, because activities sounds like something a lot more rated R, let's say.
Mischievous. Yes, it was alcohol.
Okay.
But also some lovely food as well.
Oh my God.
Very cultured somewhere.
Moving on quickly.
Okay, so let's get stuck into the start the topic that we want to cover. So the life of a startup. So do you want to give a small bit about your background? I suppose for you, I would actually call you, I don't know, throwaway comment now, but you are a serial entrepreneur. Mm. You've had more than just, I think everyone kind of knows the gym background, yeah, and where you are now, DigiGuys. Mm-hmm. But would people know about your very first business?
No, the only person that would probably know about it is my business partner at the time. So I started off working, I suppose my first main jobs, let's say, or my first career was in the gym industry. So I started out working as a gym manager in a small gym in Blarney, which was a hotel gym. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Carrigaline in Cork. And I was gym manager. Oh, was I gym manager or gym duty manager?
How long ago? Like, is this nearly 7-8 years ago?
Oh man, what year are we in now?
You're nearly 35 now.
I'm 29. So I think I was 22 at the time. So 7 years ago. But no, like I loved it there. It was something that I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. It was something that, you know, I felt I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. But yeah, so the owner of that gym, myself and himself, actually started a business which was called Animal Fitness. It was kind of gym clothing, and come to think of it now, it was actually before the likes of Gymshark or Alpha Elite or any of these.
So you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah, we were definitely ahead of that. But what happened was the brand name we had was actually copyrighted in the States. So we were kind of sent a letter of warning, and then we were, I suppose, bought out by that company in the end. Mm-hmm. But that was the first thing. Then from there, I actually left that gym and I started my own PT studio. So I started.
So how long was it between starting the company and it being
up till we got
down?
That? Oh yeah, I mean now.
And was there anything? Do you sell anything in between? Was there?
Yeah, no. When we're talking business now, this is real small. This was mm-hmm. really, really small. But yes, it was selling, but I suppose by the time we actually started to get some recognition or people recognized us, it was time to move on because we got that letter fairly quick. Mm-hmm. But no, it was a real eye opener because, you know, you think things would be easy, you know, get these things made, everyone will want them, and it's easy to sell them, an order comes through, and it's easy to package them. But mm-hmm. I suppose I had a job of the, one of my roles would have been sending out products, and even that was just, you know, it was, I'm not going to say stressful, but it was annoying when you're working, you know, full time and you have to send out packages. You need to go to the post office, or you need to go to places to send things out. And things cost more, a lot more than what you think. You know, sending one T-shirt in the post, I think, was costing something along the lines of...
Because I know you at this stage.
You knew me then?
No, at this stage, I know, my first time hearing this now, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But no, me knowing you now,
okay.
I know you'd absolutely hate the small side of things.
I hate
getting into your car now and going to the post office would wreck your head, I'd say.
I'm the type of person, it's A to B. I hate even stopping to get diesel for the car. I'd rather the car conk out and push it home. I just hate that thing. I just prefer the bigger things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that sounded bad again. but no, that would have been the one... what was I saying before you rudely interrupted me? Oh yeah, the things where you'd be surprised about, you know, what things would cost. You know, I think it was at like between 5 and 7 euro to post a T-shirt, which you wouldn't be factoring into your cost before you start. But it was definitely an eye-opener.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot even in the space of that few months.
Mm-hmm. Moving on then to
I'd started my own kind of social media pages, let's say, and I started my own website under my own name for personal training. And I suppose mm-hmm. I was getting some recognition. I know I was good at my job. So I kind of seen that there was a market there for me to open my own small PT studio, probably the same size, no, maybe small but bigger than this office. So it was kind of 1-to-1 PTs or 1-to-2 PTs. Mm-hmm. And again, I spent a lot of time on social media and building my brand and building my name on social media from there, which helped me to get a lot more clients. I was always fully booked. And I think it got to a stage where, you know, I was kind of working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, and I might have maybe 2 hours break during the day. Mm. Which was fine, but I suppose it got to a stage where I was either happy doing that for the rest of my life, or I had to, you know, grow the business. Mm-hmm. So that's where I decided to open a fully commercial gym where I employed, I think it was a 5 or 6 people at a time. So I'd have a few more trainers, and I was kind of more focused on running the gym. Mm-hmm. And we had gym memberships and classes, and we actually opened a cafe inside there for some time before we actually needed to close it down again for more space we needed in the gym. But yeah, that was the next thing, and I spent maybe, was it a year and a half in a PT studio. Mm-hmm. before I opened up the gym, which was like 3 units away from the PT studio. And I was doing that for maybe 1.5 years as well before I moved on to DigiGuys. So I'm in DigiGuys now maybe 1 year, so I have another 6 months left before before I move on.
Brilliant.
I was lying.
Oh, don't answer that to me. Yeah.
No, but to be totally honest now, this is what I know I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. So if you decide to go, I'm going to have to buy you out, because I found out since leaving the gym industry that it wasn't the gym industry that, you know, it wasn't.
You fell in love.
I wasn't in love with the gym industry, let's say. Mm. I was in love with being creative and, you know, marketing the gym and trying to be different. And we definitely set ourselves aside by doing that. Mm-hmm. What we were doing in the gym was totally different to what anyone else was doing. So mm-hmm. I was proud of that. But looking back, I didn't love the gym industry as much as I thought. Mm. And of course, I did love it. I spent so much time in it. But it was being creative was my thing. Mm-hmm. I focused more on, you know, trying to be different, try to set ourselves apart, try to grow a brand, try to grow a following, rather than, you know, the smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I know then that this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life, because every day is being creative. It's working with different brands every day, different companies, our own marketing, you know, doing things like podcasts, doing videos, videos for clients, our daily talk show, doing, you know, 2 and 3 minute tip videos or, you know, pointer videos every day. So this is what I like doing.
And you know, let's say you were doing the gym side of things, and it was, mm-hmm. you're training people and you might be reception for a while and stuff like that. So it's very much your day is structured for you.
Yep.
How would you find going from that to office life? Because office life is obviously very different.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, I was one of those people that said, I'll never work in an office. And I don't know how people can work in an office.
Mm.
But I think our office is not like another office either, that, you know, all the work we're doing is kind of, yes, we'd work on laptops, but most of the time it's being extremely creative. Again, your mind is working really hard, and that's not a dig at anyone that's working in an office. That's, I'm not saying that it's not really hard, but I suppose our work is different every single day, so we're not coming in doing the same thing every day, so that's what makes it easier. I prefer this, because even though we are in an office, it's not, like you say, it's not structured.
Mm.
Would you agree?
No, it's true. Every day is different.
Mm-hmm.
We could be here some mornings at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Other times we might leave it till 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's every day is completely different to, mm-hmm. to the next.
Yeah.
So then you went from gym to DigiGuys.
Yeah.
Would you think it was a hard transition or?
Not at all, no. First of all, I'm just going to point out, this feels like an interview to me. I'm going to be jumping back at you now.
Yeah, put it back
to me afterwards. You better be ready.
Yeah.
So what did you ask me again? Was it a hard transition?
Sorry, I messed up
a
coffee.
You're fine. I actually think that it was a really, really easy transition, because like we're in the business of marketing and branding and, you know, social media advertising, and that's what I was doing in the gym. That was kind of my main focus, was on trying to grow the business through social media and through marketing. So to be totally honest, it was really, really simple. It was kind of doing what I was doing in the gym, but for our business here and for other businesses around the city and the county and eventually the country, which is great.
Yeah.
So is it my turn now to jump back at you?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. At me.
So yeah. I suppose one thing I wanted to know was that, you know, when we actually first started this business, I was still working in the gym. I was still running the gym, and you'd left your job. Can I say what that job was?
Yeah.
So Shane was working in Red FM, the biggest, that's the interesting to say, the biggest radio station here in Cork City. And Shane was working in sales, am I right?
Yeah, advertising sales, yeah.
But you had left your job maybe 3 or 4 months into us opening this business.
Yeah.
And I suppose your office then was in places like Costa Coffee or Starbucks. Or Soma Coffee.
Yeah.
Like, did you find, I suppose, what was your biggest challenge about that? Because you were working as part of a team every single day, and now you were gone into working inside a coffee shop, trying to chase business for us to grow as we were starting up.
Yeah. The hardest part, I think, was the structure side of things. So when I was working Red FM, okay, so you had your start at 9 o'clock in the morning, finished at 5:30, go home. You're very much, your day is structured out for you. You know, you're, as you said, you're part of a team. The hardest part I found with this was, yes, you were working, you're still working in the gym. Mm-hmm. So you were in the gym from 9 o'clock or from 6 o'clock in the morning, probably till maybe 12 and it's probably getting quieter, and then you're back in the evening time again.
Yep.
So if I wanted to sit down for a coffee with you, it had to be almost between the hours of 12 and 3.
Yeah.
And because you're back into the gym again. For me, I found that the hardest part was just the zero structure for me. Because like I said, you're working from, I was working from home, so I was going from working in an office with 40 people.
Yeah.
Going in, having a chat with people in the morning.
Yeah.
Having our structured sales meetings or having marketing meetings, stuff like that, to getting up in the morning and going, right, what's the plan now?
Yeah.
Having to physically set up my day by myself. I found that quite hard. I'm going to get emotional here now.
Is that a tear I can see?
Yeah. It's just the water.
2 seconds, I'll get a few.
I think there's a leak in this place. that was the hardest one. I suppose we set up, well, we initially started talking about DigiGuys in April of, was it only 2017?
27, yeah, what do we know? Yeah, 2017.
Is it all?
Yeah.
Feels a lot longer.
Yeah, I know.
So we started talking about it, and I suppose we were doing a bits and pieces here and there, like, you know. And I was still working Red FM at the time, obviously. So I was doing that from April to August.
Okay.
And I handed my notes in August, and I suppose gave DigiGuys the full-time attention from September onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you were still in the gym between September to, what was it? September to June.
Yeah.
So the start of June, I'd say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very much on my own for that,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, 8 months or so.
Yeah.
Well, but it made me appreciate then. It gave me structure. So I had to go, right, what's my role in the company? What's the structure I'm going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me appreciate, you know, what we have as your own business owner as well, you know?
Yeah.
I suppose it's a very long answer, but that was the...
No, that's fine. I like the way you brought... Oh, jeez, he didn't even turn his phone on silent. I love the way you brought up our roles in the company. Did you find... Like, at the start, did you find it hard for us to identify that? What each of our roles were?
Yeah, because I suppose, again, it was very much in Red FM. I had my title. I was an advertising sales executive.
Mm-hmm.
Going from that to an owner of a company, it's like you're one minute, I suppose from the very start, I always thought, I'm the sales side of things, Dan's the marketing side of things.
Yep.
But learned very quickly that you can't just have one role when you're a business owner. Yep. It just doesn't work that way.
100%.
And I actually found that I was bringing in sales. Mm-hmm. You were bringing in sales.
Yeah.
I was doing marketing. You were doing marketing.
Yeah.
I was the cleaner of the office.
Yeah.
You know.
You're still the cleaner of the office.
Yeah. We won't say that now.
I don't clean the office.
Yeah. That's not your.
That's not my role. I don't do the small things.
Yeah. So it goes from having your one thing that you're doing every day to trying to do different things.
Do you think that's an eye opener for people that are starting out in business, that they think that, you know, that things will be not easy, but they'll have their own certain role and this is what they're going to do day to day? Do you think that they get, you know, kicking the balls when they realize that they have to do all the small things as well?
I think it depends what type of person you are.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose everyone's got different personalities. So, like, for, let's say, if knowing you now, I know that you would absolutely hate doing all the very small things.
Yeah.
And you, like, you think big picture.
Yeah.
No, in saying that, if you had to do the small things, you're absolutely more than capable of doing it. You know, it's something that you've probably done in the past for your other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why it works well for us too as a partnership, that, you know, we have our roles and we know exactly who's what role that is.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about the things that you look after, and I hope you don't worry about the things that I look after.
Yeah. No, but I think that's very important if you're going into business with someone, to identify what each of your roles are, because if you don't trust your business partner to be doing or to be completing their role, or if they don't trust you, then it's never going to work. You have to identify what you're going to be doing, because otherwise all the big stuff gets done or all the small stuff gets done, and, you know, the goals you've set yourselves out or the direction you want to be heading is not happening. But I think that's important. But one thing I probably know what the answer is going to be, but, you know, when we were first chatting about going into business together, like, why did you want to go into business with me, first of all? And did you have to think about, you know, is this the right person for me? Or
Sounds like we're in a relationship.
Well, we are.
I suppose we are. So I'd say maybe four to five months before you brought up the
idea
of media agency,
mm-hmm.
Digital agency. I thought about doing my own thing,
mm-hmm.
Advertising wise.
Okay.
No, it wasn't necessarily down the route of being a creative agency. It was more all things marketing, so it had been traditional and plus new age stuff.
Okay.
So it was almost like that when you said the idea to me, I was like, geez, that'd be perfect now if you actually did have interest. So the way you actually phrased it to me, I remember it very clearly. You said, why don't you do something yourself? And I thought, I think this man wants to set up a business with me. I remember lying in bed getting the message going,
It was a text, was it?
Text message, yeah. It wasn't a pigeon like or anything, you know. So again, I suppose, you know what, actually one of the biggest what made it easier for me was that I could see that you were motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that you were doing stuff anyway, social media wise, with your business, that you're well able to market a business. And then I suppose the other thing that kind of helped my decision was that that you're on Instagram.
Okay.
So I know for like a lot of business owners at the time, they would have had to have some bit of a following on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to give you a big head and say you've got a massive following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that you had a decent following that, all right, we could definitely leverage this.
Okay.
And that's been completely honest. That's one of the reasons that I said, do you know what? No, we'll live a good stab, because I think you'd Dan Sweeney as a brand,
mm-hmm.
not just gym wise, but name wise as well, had grown in Cork.
Because that's, I think when some people hear that, they're kind of like, my God, that guy must be big headed that I'm just.
But that's not an ego thing. That's just the way business is now. That it's almost the personal brand equals or matches your business brand.
Yeah. 100%. I think, and just to go back on that before you rudely interrupted me again, is, you know,
it's usually
like,
the
people could have been listening as you were speaking about, you know, Dan Sweeney building his brand, and I'm just like agreeing with you and nodding.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people be thinking like, you know, that guy must absolutely adore himself or think he's just amazing that this other this person is sitting across the table saying these things and he's just agreeing. But that is obviously what anyone sets out to do on social media and as a business owner. So when I created, the first time I ever came on social media was when I opened my business.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really be on it other than it's for business. And of course I post personal stuff and I have a laugh on social media and I do some crazy things on it. But first and foremost is for business and to market myself. And then in turn that gets work for DigiGuys, it mm-hmm. gets work for various different things. So of course that is why I am on social media, and I'd be foolish to lie and say, oh no, I'm just on it, you know, for personal use. Of course I'm on it to build my brand.
Yeah,
and
course.
Then that's
yeah.
going to get us work, and it's going to get me work, it's going to get you work, you know. And yeah. you do the same, and you've realized that as well.
Yeah.
And I think for business owners not to do it, to be working on their personal brand is silly, because when I think if you look on social media, you'll find that businesses find it a lot more difficult to grow their following than a person would. I think people are just nosy. People want to know what's going on in someone's life. I think everyone that's listening will agree with me in that they would be a lot more interested in what's going on in my life or mm-hmm. your life than the life of DigiGuys.
Mm.
So I think that's natural. That's human nature, that people want to know what, you know, people are doing. We're nosy.
Mm.
So I think for a business owner or someone who's, you know, running a business, to not have their own personal page is foolish.
Yeah, I think since Instagram's like, it's fairly new, and
mm-hmm.
You know, in Ireland we're always way behind
the
likes of America now and the United Kingdom. I think people mixed up influencer with business owner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a business owner and if you had a following,
people
thought, oh, he's only an influencer.
Yeah,
it's not. Well, the thing is that if you're a business owner, you've got a following, that's almost gold, because you can get your attention out there to that following straight away.
Of course, yeah. And like, to be fair, I'm not the type that I'm just always marketing the business. I use my personal page for 90% personal things, and of course I will mention, you know, DigiGuys is doing this, or we're shooting here, or we're selling this, or this is what's happening. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't use it, you know, 100% for business. I'm not trying to be cheeky that way and you know, do this smart sell. I do use it for personal, but I do think that every business owner and people that are running a business should be on it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think, you know, when Instagram kind of first came around and people started, and Snapchat, when people started to first speak into their phones, if you were a person to speak into your phone, people just wanted it, or people thought you wanted to be an influencer or you wanted to be a blogger. And that was never my thing. I wanted to grow a following so that I could use that to tell people what I was doing. You know, so if I was working in a certain place or if I was working in a certain business, then I could, you know, maybe help that business get work, you know. And I know people, when I first started creating videos or when I first started talking on social media or posting pictures, I know there would have been people, you know, would laugh at it or would mock me behind my back, or even friends. And that never bothered me. It's not something that would ever bother me. Because I know everyone wants to do it now. I knew it was important. Everyone is doing it now. And it can be hard at the start to put yourself out there and put your face out there and speak on camera or speak into your phone or, you know, to hear your voice back or to see yourself speaking. But
I suppose it's used as a PR tool now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's how you get your name out there, and that's how you get your brand out there.
So
I think you're right. I think people would have at the very start would have thought, oh sure, he's only doing it now for attention.
Of course
you want attention, because the attention is going to bring it to your other elements to your life, as your business or as the charity work and doing stuff like that, you know. So it just highlights all these things, but it does it a lot quicker. It's not hard to, so you don't need to go and get a press release up in the newspaper, or you don't need to be in the good section or the good news section on the radio, you know. It's very much at your fingertips.
But I give even this example, right? So as I already said, I'm not selling stuff on my page, and again, I don't have a big following. I don't have a massive following on social media, but the following that I do have, like, I'll use it for things like just today. I shot a video and you came down with me at the end for Cork City Hospital Children's Club, which is a charity for sick kids that are obviously in Cork hospitals. And I shot a video down there today, and obviously I was putting that on my social media. I was putting it on Instagram stories, so people would see that I was working with that charity, get that charity some exposure. Some people that maybe would not think of that charity or never heard of it would see it. Tomorrow night I'm sleeping out in collaboration, if I'm going to say, with Focus Ireland, a service for homeless people here in Ireland. So I'm sleeping out tomorrow and I'm talking on Instagram stories about, you know, what it's like to live as a homeless person on the streets for a night. I've no idea how it's going to happen, but I'm using it again to raise awareness on a different issue, and it's something I've always done. And I'm not trying to give myself a pat on the back here, but I'm giving an example of how having a following can be used in a positive way to shine a light on different things.
Yeah, and I suppose go back to your original question, or your question was, why do you want to get into business?
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons, was just to leverage that, because I knew that it was going to be a risk, but I never actually felt it was going to be a massive risk. I don't know why. Even though I was leaving a very good job in Red FM.
I'm joking.
I just never felt that it was going to be. Maybe it's because I saw I did see the potential in digital marketing and digital advertising.
But I think it's because, I think, like, that's, you said, why you were in it. You were doing it.
Yeah.
Not just like it was more. It was radio, but you know, it wasn't a massive change to what you were doing.
No.
Same with me. So I think we both knew we could do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, and I think you're right there. It wasn't like it was moving from one industry to another industry. It was basically what I was doing, seeing where the attention was. Attention was on your phone and social media platforms. And I, to be honest, genuinely, one of the reasons was I found it hard as the months went on to, once we first started DigiGuys, to leaving, I found it hard to sell radio.
Okay.
Because my interest had moved on to the digital side of things.
Okay.
Even though I always had a massive interest in video, I just genuinely felt that I couldn't put myself forward, like sitting in front of someone and going, this is a really good package for you, when I knew
that might not suit that business.
Yeah, I couldn't do that, you know. So okay. It was I actually sold you a package at the time.
You robbed me.
But genuinely, did you think I robbed you?
No. Yes. No, it's the only time I used paid advertising for any of my businesses before DigiGuys.
Yeah.
And the only reason I used it was because we were opening up the gym at the time, and it was kind of an extra boost for us, and it was to get us out there. But yeah, no, I don't think you Rob.
But don't get me wrong, I still think radio is a good medium to use.
Yeah.
For certain clients.
Yeah, I actually had this conversation this morning with someone who's working on radio, that radio is still important for different brands and for different demographics, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes over the next few years.
Yeah, I think radio just needs to evolve as well, because you know, a lot of people now are moving towards podcasts and listen to Spotify in their car and stuff like that, you know. So
but I think Red FM are doing it amazingly.
Yeah.
This is almost like a plug. We've mentioned that's twice. We should start with sending them an invoice.
How are we gonna try and incorporate 96 now into this?
Yeah.
Or C103.
Yes. But what I think Red are doing extremely well is that they realise that, you know, things can change from radio, and radio may not always be as big as what it is now, even though it's not as big as what it was 5 years ago. But they're leveraging their social media channels.
Mm.
So, you know, they're using their Facebook page to, you know, put out various different shows or podcasts, and I know they'll start to do more on that. So that's something that radio can do, is use their following, direct them towards digital, and put their shows there instead.
Okay, so let's try to get back to the topic, I suppose. Could you give, like, you know, obviously, as you said, it's a startup life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give someone maybe a couple of tips of how they could keep on the straight and narrow? Because it can be quite hard starting off.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give a couple of tips to people listening?
Okay, number one would be definitely, I love the way you just throw me under the bus. I didn't get this question beforehand. Number one would be definitely mind the small things, because it's something I absolutely hate doing. I hate doing the accounting side of things, you know, all the small, and accounting obviously isn't the small side of things, but you know, the small things that you could push to next week and say, I'll do that next week, and all that gets on top of you. So make sure you're on top of the small things. If it's not going to be you, make sure one of your staff or one of your team members manages the small things. And to evolve on that one would be to delegate.
Mm.
Don't think that you're going to be able to do everything yourself, because you can't.
That's the hardest thing as a business owner. You think you can do it all.
Yeah, that's one thing I struggle with always. And I think this is the first time I've ever actually, I think I said this to someone yesterday, it's the first time I've ever actually trusted someone else to be doing, you know, part of the work. And I don't mean you, I mean, you know, Joe and other staff members that we've hired to do some of the work. Because I think if you think that you're going to be able to do all of the work yourself, then you're going to get a big surprise fairly quickly in business, because it'll all come on top of you. So delegate and work amongst the staff so that you're getting everything done.
Okay.
Back at you.
Me?
Yeah.
I would say structure your day.
Okay.
Either it's on a weekly basis or a daily basis, just make sure that, okay, so at 9 o'clock I've got this job to do, 10, 11, 12, have your whole day structured, because otherwise you're going from one thing to the other, and it's like, okay, so what's next, and you're actually losing, because time is probably the most important thing for what we see is time is very important as a business owner. So have your day structured. Because otherwise the day can very much slip away from you, and especially when you're I suppose when you're working for somebody else, you don't actually take as much notice as time-wise.
Yeah.
You might say, right, I'll take an extra half an hour here now. I won't do anything there now for no half an hour. Mm-hmm. I'll sit in front of my laptop and pretend I'm doing something.
Yeah.
But for us, if we're doing that, it's like, that's on our own time.
You're stealing from yourself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But that can be, that, like when you say structuring your day, that can be hard as well when you first start up, because, you know, one thing I found is that you feel like you always need to be doing something. So as a business owner, you're working 24/7. You're never not working. When you take holidays, you're always thinking about the business. So one thing I found was hard is that you could be on top of everything. You could be really structured and really, you know, really doing well, that you could finish at, you know, your day could be 9 to 5 and you're staying on top of everything. But one thing I found is that there come 6 o'clock, come 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I just could not stop thinking about the business. And I'd get out a pen and paper, I'd get out my phone and get out my laptop and just stare at it. And there was nothing to be done. But I just felt like I had to be doing something, you know, because you almost feel guilty.
Yeah.
So I think one thing as well for a startup is, you know, take the time off that you earn, I suppose. If you actually have, if you're able to take off some time, if you're able to take off the, you know, Saturday or Sunday or one day a week, to actually work on the business and work on the smaller things, or if you can take a day off and actually do nothing, then do it, because it doesn't come very often.
Yeah.
And don't feel guilty about doing it.
Yeah, I suppose what happened to me was between April and, because I was still working, as I said, still working Red FM between April to August.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Red FM during the day,
yeah,
and we used to do DigiGuys either at the night time or at the weekends.
Well, that kind of sounds sexual without it. It just sounds like we used to do DigiGuys in the evening and at the weekends.
We used to do DigiGuys stuff at the night time. at the night time.
It's like dogging, but different.
Yeah. Jesus, very different, hopefully. Right. How do I move on from that?
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so I was basically, my whole day was structured for me when I was doing that. So, and what happened was I got sucked in. So once I finished in,
mm-hmm,
and I was just focusing on DigiGuy stuff, I got sucked into the thing of hustle and grind, no days off.
Yeah.
Up early.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, if you're not doing that, then you go, oh Jesus, I'm not doing this right now.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing kind of played in my mind was that, God, if I'm not doing that now, we're not going to make money. We're not going to bring mm-hmm. in. We're not going to bring in revenue.
Yeah.
Dan's not going to be happy with me because I'm not up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Chasing business. I'm not keeping things tight as they should be. It was actually kind of playing me small because like you were up. Even though you're probably, would it be fair to say that at the start when we first started, your day was very much structured. Maybe 60% gym, 40% DigiGuys. Probably small, more towards the gym.
Yeah,
almost.
More towards the gym. I'd say
at the very start. So I almost felt that, okay, I must do this work here now, and if I don't get it done, I must go back and prove myself to Dan almost, mm-hmm, anyway.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the thing of getting sucked into that culture of hustle and grind.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think now, since now we're a bit more reputable and a bit more credible, and a bit more experienced, I suppose, as well.
Exactly.
That you don't have to do the whole up at 3 o'clock in the morning or up at even 6 o'clock in the morning to get your work done.
No. And don't get us wrong either. You, of course, you still have to work extremely hard, no matter how known you are or how much work that's coming in. You still have to work as hard as ever. But I think you can relax a small bit more and realise that, you know, if it's 9 o'clock at night, you don't need to be working on your laptop just for the sake of mm-hmm. working, in inverted commas, because that's one thing I think a lot of people are guilty of at the start, is that they're just aimlessly working. They're doing nothing. They're putting mm-hmm. A lot of screen time in. So they're on their phone a lot. They're on their laptop a lot. And they're not actually doing anything.
What happens is your energy levels are taken up on something that you're actually not doing it, or you shouldn't be doing it at all.
Yeah.
And you said there, if you work hard, the rewards will come to you. But you do need to take time for yourself, definitely.
Yeah.
I think patience too is a big thing. At the very start, I suppose I was a bit naive and a bit green that way. I wanted results straight away, and I wasn't patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of played in my mind as well. Small was like, God, I wish we were here. I wish we were there. I wish we were in an office. I wish we'd staff.
Yeah.
I wish we were growing more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all in the first maybe 2 months.
Yeah. You fool.
Yeah. But I think it's just been completely green. Like, you know, it's not.
You know what I think that is that we see the likes of Instagram and mm-hmm. Facebook, these massive businesses that blew up in the space of a few months. Or you see, you know, other businesses that start up with massive financial backing behind them
mm-hmm.
and they hire 100 people. And we started with nothing. We started with a computer and a laptop. And I'm not saying now that we're millionaires or anything like that. But, you know, you have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to stop comparing your business to other businesses. And I think that's what happens. You see other businesses doing certain things or having certain types of offices or having an office at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get not jealous of it, but I think you compare yourself to them. And it can blow you away sometimes. But I think if you just, you know, put the head down, stop focusing on what everyone else is doing and just focus on how to improve your business day to day. How can you put those valuable hours to good use in your business? Because it's surprising how quickly it can grow when you actually set out your goals, when you know what direction the business is going to go in. Things can happen pretty quick.
I know I probably would have touched this before. It was, you know, not knowing what you are starting off or taking a while to do. I think, as I said, we're lucky to, we actually in maybe the first 6 months
mm-hmm.
or after the 6 month mark, we kind of figured out what we want to do with the business.
Yeah.
But I'm saying for a lot of people don't know what that is because
mm-hmm.
they try to be so much to everyone
yeah.
that they don't actually sit down and go, right, what actually, what are we as a company?
Yeah. What are we good at? What do we like doing?
I think that's one of the good things. One thing you have to do is you need to find out what your USP is, because there's 10 other, there's maybe 15 other agencies in Cork.
Yeah.
What makes you different?
Yeah.
What makes DigiGuys different? Mm-hmm. Why would someone want to pick us over over another company?
I actually said this in my Instagram stories last night, is that you have to kind of, you have to figure out what type of a business you are. You have to figure out what you're good at. You have to figure out, you know, what type of a person you are and who you are as a person. Because once you figure that out, you can then be honest with yourself and honest with your business. You're not trying to be someone else. And I think once you figure that out, everything else is easier. You know what direction the business is going to go in. You know what kind of an atmosphere is inside the business. You know what personality your business and your brand gives off.
Mm-hmm.
And that then itself will attract customers who are similar to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a whole lot easier.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I know it's such a cliche, but you have to stay in your own lane, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you have to, there's no point. I suppose one thing we were very much guilty of at the very start was we never said no to people.
Yeah.
Never say no, like we used to never say no to people. Someone might say, lads, can you do this for us? And it might be completely wrong what we're doing. Like, you know, like we know ourselves, we should not do this here now.
Yeah.
Even though some bit relates to social media or some bit relates to digital,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't our strong point.
Yeah.
And we still said yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's important as a business owner. Like you have to know when to say no, because otherwise you become a busy fool that you're doing something exactly. that you don't want to do.
Yeah. I think you have to figure out your worth as well. You know, it's great to do things for free at the start. I'm not saying we did stuff for free, but it's great to do things for free to get your name out there. But you have to soon figure out how much you're worth, because if you're saying yes to everyone for whatever price or whatever location in the country or, you know, however long it's going to take, then again you're going to become that busy fool. You're going to be costing more money. You'll be getting paid nothing to travel up the country and do something that you're getting nothing back for. So you have to figure out what your cost is, what your price is, and then, you know, go forward with that.
Yeah, and I know you said there that saying we didn't do stuff, or not saying we did stuff for free.
Yeah, we didn't do stuff for free. Yeah.
No.
You said there that we did do. Say that again.
So I know. You touched on doing stuff for free, or not doing it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually no problem saying that. I think some people should be doing stuff for free.
Oh yeah, 100%, yeah.
Especially when your market's so saturated, you have to show off what you can do.
Yeah.
Again, we had a client. We have a client now, but it was for we had a Christmas video idea.
Oh yeah.
And so we brought the idea to the client. And we said, look, we'll do the video for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the video went really well. And they're happy with the way it turned out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're a client that do stuff for us regularly, you know.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show that you have to do stuff for free as well.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I've actually found was, again, you touched on it there, was your time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been, I suppose, me more so than you. I wouldn't have priced our time as much as that you would have seen it as. You know, I would have said, oh, sure, yeah, that's only going to take an hour or so, you know.
Yeah.
Where now I'd say, right, that's an hour of our time that we need to be, you know, almost charging for. Because as a business owner, again, it comes back to putting value on your time and what you're...
But you have to. Like, the only reason I would have done that is because I've experienced it. I've run, say, a few businesses where you have to. And I didn't do before. I learned from my mistakes. But... if you don't charge your time, you'll be doing everything for free.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's great to do things for free to get your name out there, but you can't run a business by doing everything for free.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out what your value is, what your worth is, and do it. And charge for your time, because again, you might say, oh, you know, going to Dublin to do a video with a client is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the time it takes you to get there, the time it takes you to record a video when you're up there, the time it takes you to get back, the cost in diesel to get up there, the time it takes to edit the video when it comes back, and when you send the video to the client, how many re-edits are you going to have to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to like that video initially? So a 1 hour shoot can turn into, you know, a 10 hour work, you know, day with the travel, with the cost of diesel, with the editing, the re-edits.
Yeah.
And you also, like, you need to value that,
because then your other clients as well will become neglected if you're if you're one focus on that one client.
Mm-hmm.
Your other stuff will suffer for sure.
Yeah.
So another thing I didn't really realize was how hard it actually is to run a business.
Crack open a Heineken for me.
You know, I suppose from the outset, people kind of look at you and go, "Isn't that great? Now that lifestyle he has, he gets to work for himself, his own their own structure.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to work on a Tuesday or Monday morning if they don't want to.
Yeah.
I suppose the perception is that you've got loads of money.
Yes.
And that's one thing I actually didn't understand, or I suppose the very start was, you know, tax absolutely everywhere.
Tell me about that.
There's so many hidden charges that you wouldn't see as an employee if you're a business owner. So I think people's perception is that you've got loads of money.
Yeah.
How would you kind of
rate how hard it is?
Yeah, how would you even describe it? And again, I don't want this to be sounding like we're not grateful for what we have, but I suppose just to highlight how difficult it actually is.
If we didn't love what we were doing, we wouldn't be in here late on a Thursday evening. Late, it's 5 o'clock. It's dark outside. But there's a lot of evenings we're in here till 9 and 10 o'clock. If we didn't love what we were doing, we wouldn't be doing it. And as simple as, we do love what we're doing, but man, running a business is, I'm going to curse, it's fucking hard.
Do you know what? I haven't cursed in this podcast.
It's your chance. You can have a chance next. But yeah, it's so hard. Like, that's kind of, you know, it's one of the reasons I'd love if they taught entrepreneurship, or, you know, I know they teach business in school, but it's not really running a business. But I'd love if they taught it more in schools, because I don't think people realize how hard it is. You know, dealing with staff, even though we're extremely lucky here with DG guys, but dealing with staff, Joe, can be a pain.
Big time.
But dealing with staff can be extremely difficult. You know, dealing with clients at times can be difficult. Like, you have the pressure of, you know, bringing in revenue to ensure that you're getting paid, that your staff is getting paid, that your rent is getting paid, that you are staying on top of all the bills. Business is not easy. And I think, like you say, people outside of business, a lot of times they'll think that you're loaded because you own a business, or they'll think that the business always has money, or it's so easy running a business, you can take so many days off, you can finish whenever, but you're never actually off. And you'll hear people say things like, oh, you can put that on the company credit card, or you can put that on the company card, as if that's free money. That's one thing that kills me. Oh, you put that on the company card,
you?
And it's like,
you can claim that back.
Yes. Yeah. You still, I don't get that. Yeah. You claim that back. It's like, yeah, you don't actually get that back into your hands.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, I'm not going to say delusional, but people that have never experienced running a business, or, you know, managing a business, maybe, you know, seeing it from a top level, don't have an idea of what it's like. And again, I'm not bashing employees here. Employees have so many benefits. I'd love to be an employee. There's some days I'd love to be an employee. But, you know, until you've actually experienced running a business or owning a business, you've no idea what it's actually like, what a roller coaster is, because there's some days where it's actually the best thing on planet Earth, and there's other days where you actually just want to pack it in and just go home and stuff yourself in chocolate. That's most days, actually.
Yeah.
What do you, for you, like, were you surprised at how difficult it was? I know I kind of asked you what your biggest surprise was, but are you surprised at how difficult it was, how difficult it is?
Yeah.
And be honest. This is your chance to curse.
Yeah. Let's say, so the hardest months I found were between September to just after January. So what's that? That's a good 4 months. Jeez, I'm very bad. September to...
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah. So you're counting out there now.
Let's say four.
So I always would have been an employee. I never... this is my first business, basically. So I would have never known the hardship of it. I was very grateful. I always had wages or salary coming to my account. Never thought about the employer's hardship to get that money for you, or you know, that side of things. But I suppose that's one of the hardest things I found, was that at the end of September, sometimes, like, you know, we can honestly say this.
Yeah.
I'd say for the first couple of months I wasn't getting paid.
Yeah.
Or if it would have been...
I wasn't getting paid either. I think you need to point that out. Shame I was getting paid, but I was loaded, lads. I was absolutely...
So as a DigiGuys wasn't making money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's fair enough. You know, it's obviously you save up and you do the hard work. That's why I wondered if you are doing something on the side, is to make sure that you're making enough money before you can jump into doing that full time. So... I think that was probably one of the hardest things that I didn't see as an employee, was the actual the hardship of going into paying people's salaries. And I suppose, you know, that's probably one of the things now that we have staff now.
Mm-hmm.
that is one of the hardest things, is to make sure that you have money in the account always to pay them at the end of the month. And that's a different type of stress. I've obviously incurred targets or come across targets and deadlines and stuff like that, but that type of stress is very different to the stress of if that person's going to get paid this month or not, or if Dan's going to get paid this month, or if I'm going to get paid this month. That's a completely different stress that I would have came across, because we all got bills. You know, we all have cars we drive and rent to pay, and and our own personal bills to pay. That would have been the most difficult thing to ensure that each person
gets there. But it's amazing now, just to point out that, you know, that we're in a position now that we don't need to be worried about, you know, getting enough money in to pay ourselves or pay staff, and that's such a relief, because that can be such a hard thing. I think I felt I needed to point that out in case our staff are listening, is like, oh Christ, am I going to get paid this month? But you know what I mean, that it's hard, because I was in a place in the gym, being honest, that I never took a wage. I couldn't take a wage. I ensured that the staff were always paid first, and I could never not have that. I couldn't be taking a wage and the staff not getting a wage. It's not right. I was in a position that, you know, staff always get paid first, and I wasn't taking a wage, and of course that was hard. So as a business owner, that's one thing that, you know, you can be surprised with, that, you know, you're trying to ensure that you're getting enough money in always to pay everyone and to pay your bills.
And it's not just wages. So there's rent, there's the PRSI that comes with your employees. There's an unexpected plumbing problem. You know, there's certain things that you have to...
Shame is in the toilet again.
I actually was talking about the sink, but never mind. It's not just your wages that you need to worry about. There's always the other added extra bits as well. And I suppose we're actually quite lucky that, I suppose, our starting off point, we didn't need an office. We didn't need a whole pile of equipment. All we needed really was each other.
Oh, man.
All we needed was a laptop, a decent camera, and a bit of creativity. That's all we kind of really needed. So I do sympathize with the likes of, you know, electricians or someone who's in trade, that they have to, when they're starting off, they have to put themselves in a bit of debt before they start making money. So I do sympathize in that side of things. So I think we are looking that way. Even, I suppose, the gym side of things, you probably have to do the same thing. We had to rent equipment.
Yeah, like, I think most businesses I'm just thinking, as you're saying, that most businesses would need to put in a massive amount of investment before they open the doors to get their office ready or their shop front ready.
So I suppose a lot of people like ask me, is like, why do you want to run your own business? So what's the upside of it?
I don't know.
You tell me. Or why did you want to do it? Was there a certain reason?
Sometimes I feel like I fell into it. I actually never thought I would own my own business or run my own business. It's strange. I think it got to a stage where I was manager of that gym in Carrigaline, and it got to a stage where I realized that, you know, I could give this a go. I had a big enough following that I knew if I opened my own place that people would follow me. And thankfully they did. So I think at times when I'd look back, I did fall into it. I didn't plan to do it, but I think if it didn't happen at that time, it would happen another time. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I couldn't go back working for someone else now. I think when you first run your own business, I think people would find it very hard to go back and work for someone else. And it's not even a case of, you know, taking orders. I think it's more of a case of, you know, you want to run something, you want to put something in a certain direction, you want to head in a certain direction, have the goals for that, and be held responsible for it. So I think once you have that once, it's very hard to let it go.
Yeah. I suppose for me, it was, I suppose some people say it's in your DNA if you're an entrepreneur or not. You know, I suppose the best ones don't just stick to the one thing they do. They've got several businesses. I suppose for me, I would have actually looked at my father, my dad, and so he would have worked full time with Air at Aircom, still does. But he would have, maybe in 2001, 2002, he actually went back to college. So after working with Aircom for, I don't know, was 20 years at that stage, he had the drive and the motivation to go back to college and do real estate.
Yeah.
to become an auctioneer, and which he still does. So he does full time aircom, and he's got his own business, his own auctioneering business as well. Mm-hmm. So I suppose when I was younger, I never actually appreciated the hard work that actually goes into that, mm-hmm. of doing your 9 to 5 and then evening time and weekends, mm-hmm. working on your side business. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where I probably would have saw it first day, was that, and he's still doing it to this day. So he's doing that maybe for the last 12 years or so.
Okay.
Juggling the two of them. So it's like the hard work that he puts in, it's actually phenomenal. So I suppose that's where I kind of saw the effort that goes into the business. Mm-hmm. And I think I put it down to him for why I would have gone into running my own businesses, that I saw what he does, and he enjoys it so much. All the cars outside beeping now. But I think that's one of the reasons why I would have definitely gone into running my own business.
I think that actually brought a tear to my eye there, Shane.
You're welcome. Okay, so we actually got a few questions today on Instagram stories. Do you want to name out a few of them there?
Okay, I'm just looking now.
On this topic.
I'm scrolling. Yeah. Okay, so how do you get your first few clients on board with little experience and equipment?
I think we probably touched on it, is like you'll have to do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, so is this person doing it for as an individual, or are they looking to join a team or
individual?
Yeah, I think you have to do it for free and just have to show off what you can do.
Yeah.
Approach these people. And even if you can do is come up with a portfolio beforehand, so you know, go shoot your own video somewhere, or, mm-hmm. or pick something, if it's a car or something, shoot a car video.
Yeah.
You just have to show off what you can do, and it's almost like your portfolio is like, look, this is what I can do. Mm-hmm. Can I show you what I can do for you?
Yep.
Because more often than not, they'd be like, oh, geez, that's cool.
Yeah.
If you're good enough at it, obviously. Yep. So I suppose with the equipment side of things, I suppose if it's for yourself, or if it's for a family member or something, that, you know, they know that you're not using high-end production. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of phones now shoot in 4K.
Yep.
If you've got the right, like, you know, phone gimbal and stuff, you can mm-hmm. you can probably do enough with it. If you're looking to take it very seriously, I would say you probably have to save up and go away and buy and invest yeah. in
you know, I'd actually agree in saying that, you know, you have to do things for free. But one thing I'd say, and one thing I recommend, is put a time on it. Mm. You know, so approach someone and say, look, this is what I can do, this is what I have done. Leave me, you know, help you or do this for you for a month or mm-hmm. for 3 weeks or for 6 months, and put a time to it and say, this is what I'm going to, these are the goals that you've set out, this is what I'm going to achieve, and come back to them after that time period and see what their answer is. You know, don't just say, I'm going to do it for free. Actually ask them for, you know, a time, a goal that they want to achieve, and go and do it. Because I think if you just say, look, I'm going to work for you for free, there's no real time set in it, there's no mm-hmm. agreement made. So put a time limit on it.
Yeah, either for a campaign or for a certain project, exactly. Okay, so I think we're going over the hour mark there, so we'll just finish up with one last question.
Okay.
And I think it's actually quite a good question to finish up with anyway.
Okay.
Is, do you think relationships get damaged when you run your own business?
Oh, Jeremy Kyle.
Yeah.
When you say relationships, do you mean my wife and...
Wife, friends, family?
Wife, I think you have to be honest and, you know, set out what you're actually trying to achieve and have an open discussion about it, because if you don't, I think relationships could get damaged. So mm. one thing I would have said to my wife is that, you know, this is how much kind of time I need to spend on something, and thank God she's supportive. So I think what I've kind of agreed with my wife is that, you know, weekdays, if I'm finished at 10 o'clock at night, I'm sorry, but it has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The weekends are for family time only.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'd like to, you know, it's what I'd like to actually have going forward. I'd like to be able to, you know, kind of work Monday to Friday and work as many hours as needed. Mm-hmm. Again, not wasting time, but if it needs to be in the office at 10 o'clock at night, I need to be there. But Saturday and Sunday is just only focused on, you know, family, staying away from my phone, if I can, staying away from my laptop, trying to stay away from as much work as possible, and being able to take good holidays during the year. So that'd be, I suppose, my wife and kids side of things. I think parents will always be supportive no matter what you do. If you fail, if you succeed, they'll always be there to support you. Friends is a funny one.
Mm.
I think friends will get jealous. And I'm not afraid to say that, because any friends that will listen to this, I'm still friends with. The friends that I'm not still friends with won't be listening to this.
Yeah.
but I think it's funny with friends that, you know, I think it's an Irish thing. They'll they'd prefer, if you open up a coffee shop, they'd actually nearly be embarrassed to walk inside there, and they'll go buy a coffee from somewhere else, you know. And again, I'm not afraid to say this, when I opened the gym, there was two of my friends came to the gym. I mean, now in the year and a half, that's two.
Come and actually come say, in, walk say hello in the door. Or actually to use the gym.
Anything. And like, I think it points out, you know, and I know it's that thing, I didn't take offense to it. I just know that, you know, maybe they're not there to support me. Maybe it's just a case of, you know, they're embarrassed. Maybe it's a case of they're jealous. But it just points out that, you know who your true friends are. So yeah, friends can be a tricky one.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, same as you. I think I was very lucky with my fiance.
Fiance.
That, you know, she was supportive as well. She knew exactly that. I suppose, I outlined her. I goes, look, I said that if we want this to succeed, you have to put as much hours as possible into it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're the same as you, that again, it's if we're looking to get a Saturday off, that it's that's time for family and for her. And I think the friends thing, it's I suppose for me it's almost expectation as well, you know. Mm-hmm. I suppose I am very lucky. I've got some great friends, so they know, and they are all listening. I know they are. I'm very naive that way. I think they all know that they kind of know that if you want to succeed in what you're doing, that it takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of time. Because some ways, I think maybe for the last year or so, maybe it's a selfish thing that it's become very much a one-way path, that, you know, if I'm free, I'll meet up with them. Mm-hmm. If not, it's like, I almost feel bad that I can't. Yeah. Do you know, kind of way?
Yeah.
Because obviously you need to have a good work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, you're going to become so into your own thing that you're just going to maybe lose friends on top of that, you know. So I think it's important that you do keep those relationships there. How you do that, it is quite difficult.
Mm-hmm. But I think
it could be just as simple as, but sorry, as we get older, you know, to be honest, I'm not a big drinker. I don't like going to the pub and getting absolutely smashed on a Saturday night, you know, because you feel like shit. So that's number one. Feel like shit for Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. And your concentration's gone, and you can't do anything until Tuesday or Wednesday, you know.
Yeah.
And that affects you, and that affects, so that's affecting me. Yep. It's affecting you. It's affecting staff. Mm-hmm. It's affecting clients. So I think we've got too many responsibilities to do that. So I much prefer going for a coffee, going for a walk, going to the gym, doing socializing that way, going to cinema.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think friends can be a funny one as well, because everyone's at different stages of life as well.
Exactly.
You know?
I think that's the thing. People are at different stages, but I find that, you know, your true friends will understand. So, like, I've got two really good friends, apart from you now, Shane.
We're not friends.
But I have to say that.
Business partners.
But I've got two really good friends that I know that I'll meet up with them at Christmas. And I probably, the last time I seen them was maybe 2 months ago, but it usually goes maybe 6 months. And we meet up and it's like we seen each other last week. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think they're true friends. They understand that I'm busy, I understand that they're busy, they're doing their thing, I'm doing my thing, but we just know that we can meet up and still be normal. Mm-hmm. But I'm also the type of person that I truly believe that you only have one or two you know, real friends in this world, because many of us, or many people, can think, you know, I've 10 best friends. That's like, that's bullshit, because you only have one or two really. And you'll find that out at a time where you'll need them most. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, you'll have one or two true friends and everyone else's acquaintances. You know, I think you'll actually learn that in business a great way. So, you know, you'll be working in a place and your best friends, inverted commas, Shane can see me doing my inverted commas here, but your best friends with, you know, Mary, who's started working with you at the same
we'll
time.
We'll definitely meet up now when you're finished.
Oh my God. And you'll be working together for 4 years and you leave and you'll never see each other again.
And it's
just because you're doing your own thing.
It's just you're different parts of the
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah.
But yeah, friends is a tricky one. But I'm also the type of person, I'm the type of person that, you know, I'd prefer to only have one or two true friends and get rid of the other people. And that makes it sound like, no, we'd massive falling outs, but you know the way you just move apart from people. But I prefer to have a smaller group that I genuinely care about and want to know what's happening, and be true friends with, rather than, you know, a lot of acquaintances, because I think over time those type of people just phase out and you'll just have your true friends.
Yeah.
That was kind of deep, wasn't it?
It gets deep, but I suppose that's the whole point of this. It was the life of a startup.
Mm-hmm.
The goods, the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And I hope now we've covered everything.
Okay. I think we need to finish it up there.
Finish up there. Just a little plug. We have our daily talk shows every day. The ones we've talked about so far, if you want to go back and look through them, they're probably between 2 to 3 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So they're short, they're concise, they're topical. So it's influencer marketing, personal branding, Instagram stories, and Facebook, the one we've covered.
Yep.
If you have any questions for us on the weekly podcast, please send us a DM. If you want to plug your handle, Dan, on Instagram.
DanSweeney14.
Yeah, and Shane Murphy DG if you have any questions, or send it to the DigiGuys_. And we'll leave it there.
That's it. We'll go to the pub.
Yeah. See you later.